Word of mouth.
This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Taylor Quimby, sitting in for Virginia Prescott. The Affordable Care Act has gotten its fair share of media coverage since passing in December of 2009, but much of the discussion has focused on the massive law's more controversial aspects, the individual mandate and Medicaid expansion, for example. One under-discussed provision of the ACA is called the Sunshine Act, and it's designed to introduce more transparency into the substantial fees and gifts that doctors receive from pharmaceutical and medical device companies. Joining me to discuss the provision and what it will mean for doctors and companies is healthcare reporter for The Wall Street Journal, Peter Loftus. Hi, Peter.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. Also with us is physician and author Danielle Ofri, who also writes about medicine and the doctor-patient connection for The New York Times. Danielle, welcome back to Word of Mouth.
Thank you.
Peter, I want to start with you. Can you give our listeners just a brief overview of the Sunshine Act?
Sure. This is a provision, as you said, of the Affordable Care Act. It requires most pharmaceutical companies and medical device companies to report to the government detailed information about payments, gifts, and other transfers of value that they provide to physicians and teaching hospitals. The threshold is relatively low. It's any payment or transfer of value of $10 or more per doctor, and actually payments lower than that would also be required to be reported if the total amount paid to a doctor in any given year is over $100.
Is it clear at this point how much money drug companies pay out to doctors annually?
I don't think there's a single number that we know yet that would encompass all that, but to give you an idea, Pfizer, which is one of the biggest drug companies by sales, they paid about $170 million in 2012 to physicians.
So, Peter, what exactly do companies need to do to comply with the Sunshine Act provision of the ACA?
Well, starting August 1st, they were required to have systems in place to track these payments. And so, for instance, if a sales rep who visited a doctor's office brought in pizza or sandwiches for the doctor's staff, you know, let's say it was $30 or $50 worth, the sales rep would have to keep track of that, and that would find its way back to the company's system for keeping track. And then they would have to have a system to be able to transmit that data to the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. That's the agency that's actually going to collect all this data.
Now, Danielle, you're a physician at Bellevue Hospital, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So a sandwich doesn't sound like a big deal, individually. How often do you or other doctors that you know of accept, you know, the occasional free meal or more than that, speaking engagements, et cetera? Would you say that's a regular part of being a physician today?
Well, our hospital expressly forbids it. We do not allow any drug reps with anything at all in our clinic to avoid the conflict of interest. But I believe in private practice and in many other hospitals, it is very common. And people don't think much about getting a sandwich. It's not a big deal. It helps you, or a textbook, or a pen, clipboard. But we all know that the drug companies wouldn't do it unless it worked. And that fact alone gives many of us a lot of discomfort. There must be a reason that they're giving us this. And so we'd like to not want to be bought and sold for a pen.
Do you think doctors have a good idea how much companies spend on them, or will the Sunshine Act be something of a wake-up call?
I think we know it's a lot. I mean, the omnipresence of drug reps in hospitals, it's impressive. They're everywhere. They always have things. And so we know it's a lot of money. But we each feel that, oh, well, I'm not influenced by that at all. But I think as a community, we certainly are.
So, Peter, what kind of penalties are companies facing if they fail to report information? And in your opinion, are those penalties stiff enough to ensure compliance?
Well, if I'm not mistaken, the legislation itself spells out the penalties, and they range from $1,000 to $10,000 for each payment that's not reported as required under the law. So if it's reported late or inaccurately, they could be subject to that fine. And then there's a stiffer category of penalties for when a company knowingly fails to comply with this law, and that would be anywhere from $10,000 to $100,000 for each payment not reported. Now, the maximum total, I think, per year is about $1.15 million per company. And I wouldn't want to express my opinion on whether that's stiff, but I would point out that many of the bigger drug companies have paid settlements that are vastly higher to settle government investigations. For instance, GlaxoSmithKline, I think within the past year or two, they agreed to pay over $3 billion to settle some investigations by the Justice Department and some of the states into their sales and marketing practices. So when you look at those numbers, a million per year is not nearly as much. And these companies' annual sales are quite large. And so I think there is some debate about whether these penalties are stiff enough, but I think it remains to be seen whether they will get all these companies to comply.
Now, this next question, I'd like to hear from both of you. It's patient-related. I'm wondering if either of you expect patients will really be looking at this sort of information provided by the Sunshine Act, and more importantly, will it change their healthcare decisions? Peter, what do you think?
My sense is that currently not a lot of patients would actually go and look up this information and then have that affect their relationship with their doctors. But I do think that as this law takes effect, where it's becoming mandatory and it's all going to be reported on a single website next year by CMS, I would expect that there will be publicity associated with that. And so I think that could cause more people to look at these numbers.
Danielle, have patients of yours ever expressed an interest in this sort of information before?
I have not heard it specifically brought up, but I do think that many patients are concerned about, I don't want to say corruption, but unethical issues in medicine, that as we order tests, maybe we benefit financially and the cozy relationship of drug companies. So I think knowledge of the law will give patients more confidence in general in medicine. I think that's a good thing. I don't envision many going to look up specific doctors, but patients often do ask, if you order that test, are you making money on that? It's a common question. So I think there is a concern, and I think this act is helpful. Even if the amounts aren't punitive or so large for the companies, the idea that this should be out in the open is a positive one for doctors and for patients.
Danielle, we hear a lot about how the Affordable Care Act is changing healthcare for consumers, but we don't hear a lot about how it's necessarily changing everyday life for doctors. So how is everyday life for physicians shifting because of the ACA or in spite of it?
Well, it depends on the setting practice of the doctor. And I think that the changes will be felt probably more in private practice as opposed to hospitals or, you know, government-funded clinics. But the idea that more people will have health insurance, I think, for all doctors is beneficial because we would like our patients to get medical care, you know, proactively. In terms of payments, though, there may be decreases in payments for certain subspecialties and increases for primary care. And so for subspecialists who are in private practice, they may see a decrease in their income.
And what about electronic medical filing? Is that still making big shifts?
It is. And again, most large major medical organizations, hospitals such as ours, have already gone to electronic medical records. But for small practices for whom it's not been so cost-effective, now have the push to go electronic. And there's some help with that push. The hope is it will ultimately benefit patient care. But the transition point of going electronic is very labor-intensive and very disruptive for practices. So for many small group practices, this can be a very rough patch.
Daniel Ofri is a physician and author of several books. Her latest is What Doctors Feel. Danielle, thanks so much for joining us today.
You're very welcome. Thank you so much.
And Peter Loftus writes about the pharmaceutical industry and healthcare for the Wall Street Journal. He's based in Philadelphia. Peter, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
We have a link to more about the Sunshine Act provision of the Affordable Care Act at wordofmouthradio.org.